your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me Annalie Tuan. She's the daughter of Wanya Tuan, who's been on the show before. And this is in under the topic of what I call Children of Reiki, which is kind of a romantic kind of title. What I have been really taken with in the history of Reiki over the last 30 years is that people that I knew as really young children who grew up with Reiki and who received Reiki initiations as children and then are now adults and have their own children, some of them, how has it been for them to have Reiki in their life all these years? And though I did as a child, I was not very conscious of my own process with this. And so one of the gifts for me in these interviews is just relating and being able to see how Reiki can be a conscious practice for children and how it may or may not have affected their lives. So Annalie, welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm just very excited to talk with you, Annalie, because last week we had Anasuya on the program, and that was very lovely. You and she knew each other when you were children.
That's right.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, from India. Yeah,
from India. Really amazing. So maybe we can start there. Let's see. Your mom was had taken Reiki, but was she a devotee of Baba Muktananda before she entered into Reiki practice?
I believe it came up around the same time. Like in the late 70s.
It happened
as well. We went to Hawaii in 79, and that's where she met Baba Muktananda.
So it was around the same time, because I met your mom and you in Cherryville in 1979.
That's right, yeah. And mom actually met Takata in 78 at Barbara.
Right.
So she had the Reiki, you know, a bit before. Yeah.
Yeah. So when were you initiated in first degree?
I was initiated in June of 79 in Lumbee at Barbara Brown's house. And my sister Christina was also there, and my oldest brother Eric. So, 30 years now this year.
Amazing. And what was it like for you? Like, were you intrigued and wanted to go to the class, or was it something that you did because your mom, you know, thought it would be good for you? Or do you remember back then?
I think I was very interested. I mean, she was working with weaving, right? And we grew up on the farm, and she was always busy, and there was always a lot of people around. And then she took the Reiki class, and then she started giving the treatments. And, you know, so I would sit and watch, as I did with her weaving as well, and, you know, realize there was something to it. Like, you know, it was like sensing that this was something bigger than, you know, just sitting and watching somebody placing their hands on someone. And when I met Takata, your grandmother, you know, it was more of a feeling, maybe. You know, I could feel the, I don't know if we'll call it power, or, you know, just that, what she carried with her. And I realized, you know, at that time that, yeah, there was, Yeah, I don't know. It was just something much bigger that, you know, I wanted to have in my life as well.
So was it easy for you to, I assume it was easy for you to go to the class. You had your brother and sister there with you, and it was in a familiar place?
It was, yeah. It was easy to go, so we went along. The initiation part was a little bit scary, you know, the first time going up there. I do remember that, thinking, oh, what's going on here? But, you know, we did that, and... yeah, we took part in the class and learned to place their hands, and it was good. And then we from there just helped my mom, you know, with treatments, and we went to school and told our friends that we could, you know, do healing with our hands. And, you know, some of them thought, you know, what are they talking about? But, you know, others were interested, and yes. And like, so I don't really remember life without Reiki, you know, because I was about 10 years old. So, you know, it's... from looking back now, I've always had Reiki, you know, like it, from what I remember and stuff, so, yeah.
Yeah, wow, interesting. And so one of the things that's so fascinating for me about what I would call your generation, and this doesn't just mean your age, is that... I would say that there's this new generation coming up now who are, you're not the first, but certainly right in the middle of this generation of people who have had Reiki since they were children and now are adults and have their own children and so on. And as you said, you've just had Reiki all your life. And they're all of us adults out here are... many, many, many thousands of people who received Reiki when they were adults in different stages of their life and remember the before and after. So I find it quite fascinating to, like, I can't imagine life without Reiki because I don't have, on some level, because I don't have a dividing line. And on the other hand, my dividing line was when I consciously started practicing Reiki, which was when I was 30.
Right.
So,
Well, I do, you know, like I know that from the moment I took my first degree, I knew that there was something with me that it was like an inner belief or a system that wouldn't be shaken, you know, somehow. On some level. That I was somehow safer with having it, and, you know, there was something big with it.
But it, in observing you and Christine, anyway, I used to call her Chrissy. I don't suppose she goes by that anymore.
No, I still call her Chrissy, but she does go by Christina now.
In your growing up, it didn't seem to affect your childhood in the sense that you were still children and you still did whatever children do, run around and have friends and... you know, do whatever you needed to do as children. And I'm just wondering, do you feel like that this practice of Reiki gave you something underneath that? Or did you have an awareness of something else going on?
I think it was very blended into our lives. You know, the Reiki from, you know, when after we left the farm and we moved over to the Kootenays and lived in Caswell, like we always had people coming there as well, and then they were coming to get Reiki treatments, and, you know, my sister and I would come home from school, and somebody would be on the Reiki table, and, you know, sometimes we'd help, and, you know, other times we'd go off and, you know, turn the music up really loud and just ignore the Reiki people in the other room, you know, like, it was sort of, it was quite mixed, you know, we could be part of it or not, and, you know, I remember, too, as younger, you know, kids, we would sit and have comic books on top of the person and just, you know, turn the page and, you know, carry on with the Reiki treatment and half read the comic book and half do the Reiki, you know, sort of be present with it. you know, and
was,
you know, so my mom, you know, encouraged us to, you know, if we were wanting to do it, to be part of it.
Well, one of the memories that I have back in those days was being able to have your mother teach me about what she called letting go of this holiness quotient in Reiki, because, you know, I think that a lot of us who came there, especially for the healing circles, I think it was on Wednesday night, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
Wednesday night? Well, anyway, when we came there, you know, I just expected a kind of quiet, and you kids would creep around and, you know, respect the holiness of the time and all that. And I can remember listening to the TV really loud upstairs in the circle, and a couple of times you guys just opening the front door and running through the room and so on. And I would ask your mom, I would say, you know, like, well, can't you, like, do something with your kids? And she said, well, you know, if you have to separate your life and keep part of it holy and, you know, and wait for that moment to practice Reiki, then you probably won't ever practice Reiki. You have to do this in your life and you know, create this place of, you know, healing wherever you are. And that was a huge lesson for me. It allowed me to see that it wasn't something that was apart from life, but something that was a part of life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a big teaching. So that for sure has carried on in her relationship with you, would you say?
It has, yeah. And that's how I, you know, see the Reiki in my life. You know, it's part of our lives, and the same in my children now, right? It's just been a part of, you know, it's another skill that they have. And tool that they can use. Like, I, you know, growing up, like, I was hardly ever sick, and we never, you know, took pills. I didn't even know about, like, Tylenol till I was in my 20s kind of thing. You know, if we had a headache, you put your hands on your head or, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, we just never, you know, went to the doctor. We didn't need to. There wasn't any. We hardly ever had anything.
And my grandmother used to talk a lot about how Reiki helped children in school. And I'm just wondering, did you find any applications of Reiki in school?
I did, yeah. I used to, you know, my mom would say, well, if you're worried about something, you know, you can just sit and, or before an exam, just put your hands on your head and do Reiki. Or if you have, like, you know, when, as I was older and received my second degree, you could send, you know, energy to that and in those situations. And I found it worked very well. You know, I did quite well in school, and, yeah, it was quite... I don't know, it's hard to, because I don't have any other, I never didn't have the Reiki, right?
Right.
You know, so to relate it to, you know, going to school with or without it, it was always there.
Well, that's really neat. I think that one of the things about such an integrated life, which is fascinating to try to recall, and I realize that I'm just trying to search for these places where you can have a difference, but I'm realizing that there is no difference, so I'll have to retool my own mind and my own idea about where to go with you in the interview. At some point, and now I have a chance to do this. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Annalie Tuan. She is the daughter of Wanya Tuan, who's a Reiki master initiated by Hawaii Ototata. And we've had Wanya on the show previously in December. And I'm interviewing Annalie as a part of the series of young adults who are now who have now had Reiki when they were children and have grown up. And actually, for Annalie, you have your own children now, and I'm wondering, how has it been for you having your own children? Did you, they grew up with Reiki, obviously, from in the womb, but I'm just wondering what the process was for you to introduce Reiki as a practice, and, you know, have they taken the class, and when did they do that, and how was that introduced to them?
Right. Well, I have 3 sons, and the oldest is now 20.
Holy smokes.
Exactly. I was looking through photos the other day, and I found one. Actually, you were there in Caslow, and he was a baby.
Yeah.
I had a photo of you and Jeff and myself and my mom, and I was like, wow. So that's 20 years ago.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy how the time goes so quick. Yeah, so I have Jeffrey, he's my oldest son, and then I have Brian, and then my youngest is Eric, and he just turned 13 a few weeks ago. So,
wow.
They all have their Reiki. Jeff and Brian, I was living in Caslow at the time, and I think they were about 4 or 5, 6. We went to a conference, a Reiki gathering in Hawaii, and I was with my mom, and we took the 2 boys. And my mom said this would be, you know, an ideal place to teach them their Reiki, give them their first degree, as that's where Takata was from.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that on that journey at that time. And they were both, you know, they had grown up with it. They'd seen us give treatments and seen me give treatments and classes and such. So they, you know, they knew sort of all about it. And yeah, so they were quite interested in learning how to do the Reiki themselves. And they would sit, you know, not very long at a time, but have their little hands on and then run away and go off and do something else and come back. And yeah, because Takata had said, you know, you could teach children as young as 4
uh-huh.
in that class in Cherryville. And so then that's what my mother remembered from then. So then there was quite a few children in Cherryville at the time that took their Reiki. So yeah, so they seemed interested and they took the class.
And did you actually have a class with them to teach them, like, the hand positions and all of that?
Not a formal class. Like, we just initiated the two of them on that trip to Hawaii, and they had seen enough. Like, Reiki is a part of our, you know, it's so much, so there's usually somebody on the Reiki table in the living room that they've seen the hand positions. You know, we would have sat down and gone through them, you know, at some point. My mom actually used to do that with my kids. She would, they would be like, oh, Grandma, can we borrow some money, or, you know, have $10 and go down to the store or the video, rent a video game or something. And she would be like, well, you know, that's the training wage for the Reiki is, you know, you give me a half-hour treatment, you get your $10. So she would, they would set up the Reiki table, and my mom would get on, and then she'd be like, hey, this is the hand positions, and they would sit and do it. And even my youngest son, that's what he would do. He would sit and have his friends waiting outside while he was doing his half-hour treatment on her to get his $10 to go off to the video store. So, yeah, so in that way he sat and went through the positions, and he would actually sit and watch TV at the same time, have his half-hour TV show. That's how he knew that was the time limit. So, but he sat and, yeah, started with the eyes and did the positions. And so then, and it was a good, you know, good quality time for them spent together, actually. With my
And now do they have second degree?
My youngest doesn't, I believe. Yeah, he's got his first. The older two, they have their second, and they use that, you know, more on themselves. Like my mom, she had said, you know, you pass on your knowledge to your children. You know, and she likened it to being, you know, like in the olden days, if you're a blacksmith, your children would learn the trade, and, you know, then if they could choose to carry on and do it or not. And so we've done the same with the Reiki, you know. My kids, they have it, and if they choose to, you know, use it or not, they use it on themselves. And, yeah, I don't think, you know, they don't have a practice in the sense of, you know, an office that they go to and give treatments and that, but they do, you know, they do self-treatment, and we've always said, you know, give yourself Reiki every day, and, you know, that's what, where change comes. Starting with yourself, and then your friends, and, you know, your family and community, and going out from there. So they use it, and they, you know, when they're feeling not well, then they know that they just put their hands on, and it works, so.
So through your life, have you do you have any stories about Reiki in your life that pop to mind? That you know, that you would like to tell the listeners?
Let me think. I guess when, there's a story, it was probably one of the first Reiki treatments I did by myself, like without my mother even around. I was in Kaslo. I had come back from Sweden, and I was living in Kaslo by myself, and I was probably about 15 at the time, and a man phoned up and asked, you know, for my mom. He was looking for some Reiki, and I said, well, no, she's over in Sweden, but, you know, I'm here, and if you're interested, you can, I could give you a treatment. And he had come from the States. And so he came up to the house with his wife. So I set up the Reiki table in the living room, and he got on the table, and it was just a few minutes into it. I treated his head, and then I'd gone on to his chest area. And he sort of sat straight up on the table and started pounding his fists and yelling, and I was like, oh, my God, what is this guy? What's going on? And I looked over at the kitchen table, and his wife just sat reading the paper, and I thought, oh, this is crazy. I'm like, I don't know what to do, and I just thought, okay, Reiki, you have to, you know, I felt Takata's sort of just saying, let the Reiki do the work, and, you know, just keep doing the Reiki. So I just kept my hands on, and he had this, like, huge anger release is what was going on, but at the time I was like, oh, it was a bit scary for me at that age.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God.
It would have been scary for anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and it went on probably a good, you know, 5 minutes, and then he calmed down, and then it turned to tears, and then he just laid down and sobbed. And then I just thought, ugh, all I can do is just carry on and do the Reiki. So that's what I did, and, yeah, finished the treatment, did his back, finished the treatment, and then he went out for a walk, and then I gave his wife a treatment, and that one was just like a calm, quiet treatment, which was good, after his. And then he gave me, it was quite a large amount of money in those days, so probably like 150 or 200 American for the two.
Wow.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, that was good, you know, that for dealing with all that anger. And I was sort of shaken by the whole thing, and then I thought, okay, whatever, the Reiki just is going to take care of it. And so then off he went, and I was happy with the money because that was helped out, and that me there living in Casa by myself. And years later, it was actually, I think, the Texas Reiki Master Conference. I don't know what year that was.
Early. Oh, I don't either, actually. Maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
1998, something like that.
Yeah. So Mom came back from that conference anyway, and she had ran into a man there who had gone on to become a Reiki Master, and from that treatment. And I don't even know his name, and I've, you know, it's gone now. But so this was the same man then who had experience with the Reiki. Yeah, the house in Castle, that was his first treatment. And then he had gone on to become a Reiki Master, and he was telling Mom the same story in Texas. So she met up with him there. So that was quite interesting. But, well, you never know what comes out of these treatments.
Oh, that's an amazing story. And so true that you never know what's going to happen when you give someone a Reiki treatment.
Yeah. So there's that. And then one of my sons, Brian, my middle, he's like 19 now. He was actually born with a hole in his heart.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, and the doctors, and it's right beside a valve, so what would happen is the valve wouldn't close properly. It would get sucked into this little hole and have to sort of fight to close up again.
Uh-huh.
And so the doctors had said, well, we'll just sort of watch, you know, as he gets older and see what happens. And, you know, he would go down to Vancouver every few years and get checked, and the hole wasn't growing over because of the valve going into it. So they decided that surgery was what he needed. So, yeah, they set the date for that, and he was about 10 at the time. And so my mom and I, we talked to all of our, you know, Reiki friends and people, and they all started sending Reiki to Brian for his surgery from all over the world, actually. And so Brian's surgery date came, and then the nurses went on strike in BC. So then that, you know, got moved another month, and so we told people, and they're like, oh, we'll just keep sending Reiki. So they did that. And so finally the day came, and he went in, and the surgery went all, you know, went proper, and it was all good. And the first day out of his surgery, he had to take morphine, you know, a major heart surgery. The second day, he was down to Tylenol 3s for the pain. And by the third day, he was just on Tylenol, and they sent him home. And he was actually, you know, I looked at him, and I thought, he doesn't, like the first day, he was just right out of it. But he just came around, like the color in his face, and the nurses in there were quite amazed. Because I looked at the other children who'd had the same surgery, and they were just sort of out of it. And, you know, some had been in there for a week in the recovery. And I just thought, that's, you know, there's something bigger going on here. And the nurses, yeah, with their amazement at his progression, you know, getting better and coming around after that. So, yeah, he was just spent 3 days after heart surgery, came home, and he was back in school. The teacher in his class put a couch in his classroom for him, and he laid there and did his work as he could. But, yeah, so, and I think, you know, it's the Reiki that helped there.
Wow, what an amazing story. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, it's again time for a commercial break, so we're going to take a little time for those things, and we'll be back very shortly. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Annalee Twun, and we've had a couple of amazing stories of Reiki in her life as a young woman and at 15 and then as a mother. And Annalee, I don't know, maybe this is a question that you can't answer, but is one that I'm fascinated with. I'm wondering, in maybe perhaps observing other people and their relationships with their parents or people in their relationship with the world, what is the gift that you feel like, or gifts that you feel like you have received in your from Reiki and from practicing Reiki in your life?
In relationship with
Perhaps your mom, your family, your own children. I don't know.
Yeah, with my mother, it's been. We have a good relationship. She's my mother. She's also my Reiki master. So, you know, growing up, you know, she's my mother first, and then. You know, there's that honor your parents, teachers, and elders. So that came in, and then with her being my Reiki master, it's, you know, I would listen to what she had to say. You know, when I was a teenager, it was a little tricky, you know, every now and then, like, you know, you listen to your mother, and okay, I don't really want to do that, she's saying to do, but, you know, but for the most part, I would try to stand back and say, okay, if I would look at her from the two perspectives and take her advice and sort of balance it and go from there. And now, as I am, well, now I'm 40, so coming into my own and with my own children that are now 20, you know, sort of taking our role has, my relationship with my mother has changed again. It's not so much, you know, following her advice and following along. It's now coming from within myself and listening to, you know, like my own answers and...
Mm-hmm.
Coming from that place more so, you know, and still listening, and of course, what she has to say in her from her experience. But becoming independent and a Reiki master in my own right, I guess, you know, on some levels, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think... Yeah, with relationship with my children, and, you know, I look at them as them being their own people. You know, I sort of take the, I look at them as they were gifts, you know, given to me to raise and look after. And so seeing them in that light, I, you know, I offer advice and my suggestions, but I realize, too, that they need to make their own choices and, you know, make their own decisions with, you know, in all aspects of their life, and I just hope that they make, you know, choices that work for them. You know, and having the Reiki, I think, brings some light into all aspects of their life, you know, the spiritual, the mental, emotional, and physical. And can assist with that, you know, with their choices and with, you know, the path that they're on. So...
Well, it seems to me that as an adolescent in my own day, and then, you know, looking at other adolescents and so on, I just think that, you know, during this time, it's really hard to keep connected to what we might call our spiritual selves. And I'm wondering if this peace has remained steady for them because of their practice of Reiki. Or was that true for you? Do you feel like that was always there for you?
I do, yeah. I do feel that that spiritual peace part of the Reiki that comes with it, yeah, I feel that that's always been a constant. You know, that I've always known that that's been there.
Uh-huh. And what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, it's like a inner knowing or inner strength, like knowing that there's something bigger, that there's something more to the world than we see, and knowing that it's always there. You know, it's that universal life energy that it never runs out. It's a constant, you know, and it's the light that is around and gives life, and so just having the knowledge that we're part of that, like that something larger, has a meaning. And in the sense of, you know, if you get depressed or you get into a slump of some sort of, you know, time in your life, that there's always that to pull you through. You know, you have that sort of sense of it's not really even about me, you know, like that sort of being, you know, having self-pity and stuff that doesn't get you anywhere. Like, you have, like you're part of something that's bigger and need to move on and, you know, contribute what you can give back and service to other people and, yeah, and your own children and life goes on kind of thing. And you get your strength. That's where, you know, it comes from that. And you have the tools to do it yourself. You know, you can sit and give yourself a Reiki treatment and shift things within yourself. And just have
So did you do that when you were like in possibly in worry about your children? Did you just think, okay, the only thing I can do is Reiki and
it is, yeah. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, that's a very practical.
Times, you know, especially teenage years, right? And it's like, you know, everybody's been there. And it's like, well, all you can do, I can just send Reiki to it and just hope for the best. And, you know, so, and really, their lives have turned out quite well. You know, we've had no major, you know, upsets or, you know, and if, you know, like Brian's heart surgery, that was a big thing, but it came, you know, went through fine. And, yeah. So it's, life has been quite easy, I think. And, like, even with money and in those situations, like, I've always been provided for, you know, somehow. Like, I've never needed, I've never, you know, sure, there's things that you would like to have or, you know, that kind of thing, but I've always been taken care of in the sense of having somewhere to live and having a vehicle to drive if I need that or, you know, having food. It's always, life has always been pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm. And you attribute that to Reiki?
I do in the sense, you know, not the actual practice, but in the bigger picture of living the principles, you know, just for today, do not anger, just for today, do not worry. You know, like with the anger, my mom used to say, you know, my sister and I would start fighting and, you know, and that kind of stuff. And she'd be like, okay, you know, one of you out to the woodshed and start chopping the firewood and, you know, like do... be constructive with that anger instead of destructive, you know, towards each other.
Uh-huh.
And this one time, we were living in Hope, I guess. I was with my husband now, and we had all the kids, and we didn't have so much money. It was getting close to Christmas time, and I was like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And I think we had 5 kids combined at the time, and... yeah, so we didn't have much money, and I was thinking about buying them all presents, and we couldn't, yeah, thinking about Christmas dinner and the turkey and all that stuff. And a girlfriend of mine, she's like, well, you could fill out one of those Christmas hamper, you know, things, and somebody in the community brings it over. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I talked to my mom about it, and she's like, well, no, those Christmas hampers, those are, you know, for people who really need food and need stuff. And I thought, well, we don't really have, you know, money to buy stuff. And she's like, well, you have... bag of rice and you have salmon that you canned from the river. And I was like, okay, that's true, we do have food, and you know, I had money to buy a few little things for the kids, and that was all good. And then actually the next day I get a telephone call, and it was a friend of ours, and he was standing outside and he couldn't ring the doorbell because he had these grocery bags in his hand. And so I answer the phone and look out, and there he is, and go down, and he says, oh yeah, I'm not going to be able to, you know, see you guys at Christmas, and I wanted to share Christmas dinner with you. So here's, you know, the turkey and the potatoes and, like, all this food. He had gone shopping and decided he wanted to drop it off. I was like, okay. So, you know, the universe, you know, you're provided for, you know, like, you just sort of get out of the way and let it happen, right? So I thought, well, that was, you know, so even there, you know, we didn't have to just have our little fish and rice for Christmas dinner. We had the turkey and we had all the... everything to go with it. So
that's a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, and then I realized, you know, that, yeah, just for today, do not worry, right? You know, like, it, you don't
worry. Right.
It comes to you. It shows up at the doorstep, so. Yeah.
Oh, it's so wonderful to hear that story. It just blends in with some really great stories of your mom's that are, have the same wonderful, magical quality of, you know, the universe providing, but also being a result of the kind of energy and open-heartedness that you have, you know, in your relationships with people and those around you, which is very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for the story.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, this is another station break, so we're going to sign off for a few minutes and come back with Anna Lee. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, oh! There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. We have today with us Annalie Twan. She lives in Canada, in British Columbia, a little bit up off the border. You're living in Hope now?
I am, yeah.
Yeah? Hope, what a great name.
It is, yeah.
I when I was on my, what I call now my vision quest, in 1980, I drove from Colorado up to Lumbee and then Cherryville and all around there, and then took off and went to, through Hope and up way up north into British Columbia and then eventually to the southeast of Alaska. And Hope is really a jumping-off place, or it sure was back then. Once you passed Hope, there were just miles and miles and miles of not very much. Is it still like that?
It is, yeah. It is like that, yeah. It's sort of, they called it the gateway to British Columbia. You know, like once you leave Vancouver and you stop in Hope to get your gas and your coffee and you keep going.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, still miles beyond, yeah.
Amazing. So how do people find you in Hope to do Reiki treatments and classes and so on? You know, people are always asking me, you know, like, how do you find your, you know, how do you find your students? And I'm just interested in, you know, you're being up there in Hope. It's not a very big place. And as you said, the jumping off place in the rest of British Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have our website, that morningstarproductions.ca.
Uh-huh.
And so on there is our email. And, you know, people email every now and then, and we have the books that I had put together, and
right.
Mom's book, which is still out of print. So, you know, people can get the books on the website, and so, yeah, they connect through there, and other people, I don't know, they just somehow track us down, you know, through phone directory, or I'm not too sure.
Uh-huh.
Just call up one day.
Uh-huh.
I don't actually teach Reiki. Like, it's not my full-time. I do it as it comes up.
Uh-huh.
actively, you know, have a schedule that I go out and kind of going to do this class here and there. And like I am teaching in Alberta in February and March. I'm going to be teaching some classes. And it's more just as it, yeah, as people phone and put together a class, sort of in a casual kind of way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm also working, my grandmother on my dad's side, she had started working on a book, and she passed away in the early 70s, and her book never materialized, like it never came to fruition. So I'm actually sitting and working on her book again now at this time. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me about the books that you and your mom have published, which is another interesting Reiki story in and of itself.
Yeah, well, Mom's first book, yeah, she's done that one. And then we were sitting in Hope at the time then. It was 2005, I guess. And Mom had traveled around and interviewed people with her video camera. And so she had all these old VHS tapes, and we thought, you know, those things need to be, you know, put onto DVDs and, you know, saved somehow for the future. And then she thought, well, why don't we make one of them into a book? So that's what we did, and that's the early days of Reiki in Canada with Takata on the cover, and that's people's stories that she had interviewed, and so that was a fun little book to sit and do.
So you transcribe the videotape, and are there interviews like with Barbara Brown and Rick and Bethel, or
this book has Barbara Brown's interviews. There are more videotapes in Mom's house in Caslow, which, you know, I have to get around to doing, which should be, you know, priority now because they're sitting there getting old. But, yeah, there's interviews with Rick, and I believe that she has an interview with you on there, and all kinds of people, Inger and Haru, and, you know, people that knew Takata. The main, you know, the people that... back in the beginning of the Reiki in BC and stuff. Yeah, so those would be, you know, good to get transcribed, at least have it written down. And, you know.
And then is there another book after that?
Then we sat and did two more books, and they are her stories, more, not necessarily about Reiki, but her life. And they're just various stories, like when she came to Canada and her life, you know, a bit in Europe and stuff. And they were, she had these, you know, papers and notebooks and scribblers, and, you know, and so we sat and compiled them and made those into two more books.
So her first book, which I find quite charming, it's called In Light of a Distant Star?
Right, yeah.
Is that the right title?
It is.
This is a lovely book. That's one is Reiki story, basically.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And other stories in there as well. And that one is still out of print. I mean, we have a few of the very first printing, you know, coil-bound books, but that needs to be, it's on the list of things to do as well.
To get it printed again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that would be lovely. And what about you? Are you going to then write a book about your own Reiki story?
I don't know. I think, well, I'm working on the ancestors' books at the moment. Well, you know, help them with hers, and then, yeah, working on my other grandmother's book. And get that one finished. And then, yeah, see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's really beautiful that you call them your ancestors' books because, you know, it's so up in my consciousness these days, so, I don't know, it floods in all the time, this connection with the ancestors. And I think when I have thought about lineage and about this practice and my grandmother's passing on of the practice from her own 40-some years of living Reiki to us, and then how we've continued on, there is this continuum that has happening, and I feel that in my own life that's really in some way taken the place of my own family lineage. My grandparents were both lived on the sugarcane plantations in Hawaii, and you know, their parents and their lineages came from Japan, and somehow that was never talked about. So I didn't have much blood lineage, but somehow the Reiki lineage has seemed, as I've looked back on it, a kind of connection to my ancestors in a really beautiful way, and has created or filled the place that I needed to have filled. And I'm just wondering if this awareness that you have of, you know, honoring and respecting your ancestors by creating books and stories for not just your children, but the children of Reiki and the children who are interested in these stories will come together. And wondering about how that has been for you, since your Reiki and your blood lineage are all the same, seems like.
Exactly. And, you know, my grandmother on my dad's side is Native, you know, so that we have the Native blood. And I'm realizing that the teachings of the Native people here, you know, they also, you know, they speak about honoring your ancestors and
right,
and that you're not so different than, you know, from your parents and the people who have gone before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like as you start out in your life, you think, oh, I'm never going to be like my parents and go blah, 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 you know, all that kind of thing. And then as you get older, you sort of realize you're not, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from that tree, really.
Right.
You know, you kind of come back around and they're like, oh, maybe, you know, my sister was here visiting not that long ago, and she would look at me funny and she's like, oh, that's just what Mom used to do, or oh, that's just how you look, just like Mom looks. And I thought, oh no, I'm turning into my mother. But I thought, you know, that is sort of the reality. We're not so different. We come from these people, right?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, when you're young, you're, yeah, idealistic about, yeah, you're going to do different things and all the rest, but, yeah, really it doesn't change so much. And
right.
So in honoring, you know, the ancestors in your past, you're honoring who you are yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And bringing that forward and bringing it, you know, present.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, this is a beautiful thought to end with. So thank you very much, Annalee, for your stories and your willingness to share your life with Reiki, with all of us.
Mm-hmm, you're very welcome.
Yeah. And we take a moment to honor our ancestors and all that have come before us. And with this, we'll say goodbye for now. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network, and discover how you can find balance from within.